This is a Suno India production, and you're listening to Science and Us.
In the previous episode, we explored the concerns of fast-tracking COVID-19 vaccine trials. Historically, vaccine development takes anywhere between 5 to 10 years. In this episode, we explain the key concerns related to the cynicism around the vaccine development. What are the laws which can be used to authorize a vaccine for mass vaccination? What is the level of transparency we should demand from our governments to be clear about the processes and to feel safe taking the final jab? Hi, I'm Menaka Rao. In this episode, I continued speaking with Dr. Amar Jesani, an expert bioethicist, who I also spoke to in the previous episode. I also spoke to advocate Murli Neelakantan, an expert in healthcare laws and drug development in India. So the first question in this episode is,
what is the emergency use authorization? Can it be given just after phase 2 trials?
As per the US laws, emergency use authorization allows unapproved medical products to be used in public health emergency, like the one we are facing right now. Pfizer has been given authorization for use in UK and the US, among other countries. This term is also being used by Indian authorities. It finds its way in the minutes of the meetings of the subject expert committee, which evaluates the approval of clinical trials, drugs and vaccines and medical devices. In India, three vaccine makers sought to get approval for use before they finished phase 3 trials. Pfizer, which did not conduct any trial in India. The other vaccines include Oxford AstraZeneca, produced by Serum Institute, and Bharat Biotech vaccine. Murli Neelakantan, a lawyer who is an expert in healthcare law, said that under the Indian law, there is no provision that can allow us to bypass phase 3 trials for vaccines. He explained the law.
We have a set of provisions in the new Clinical Trial Rules 2019 for accelerated approval and expedited review. These apply to both drugs and vaccines. As far as the rules are concerned, all vaccines are new drugs requiring full clinical trials. Now, there are three alternative pathways for approval of vaccines that haven't been fully evaluated in clinical trials. The first is Rule 80, where a vaccine is approved overseas by regulators, and that regulator has been recognized by the Indian regulator as a credible regulator. And there is no probability or evidence on the basis of existing knowledge regarding the safety and efficacy of that vaccine. That's the first rule, where you have a chance to exempt the vaccine from conduct of clinical trials in India. That clearly will not be applicable to vaccines, plainly because there is a high risk. So clearly we're going to have to do trials in India. The second is accelerated approval. Now, to be able to secure an approval under this pathway, companies have to show that the vaccine demonstrated remarkable efficacy during phase 2 trials for a disease that lacks alternate treatments, and there is a case of meaningful therapeutic benefit over existing treatments. But all that does is allows use of a surrogate endpoint for efficacy, not approval without phase 3 trials. So again, what we see from these two provisions, where there is some flexibility to the regulator as regards approval, is that you cannot get away with approval without doing full clinical trials. The third is expedited review, where the vaccine would provide significant advantage in terms of safety or efficacy, which again has to be done with trials. And there is a substantial reduction of treatment-limiting adverse reaction, which again you won't know without clinical trials. and enhancement of patient compliance, which you'll again only know if you do phase 3 trials. So in all three scenarios where there is a possibility for an alternate path for approval, it's unlikely that these will be applicable to vaccines. They might be applicable to drugs where you have data, but it's highly unlikely that the regulator could grant approval for vaccines under these three exemptions. The issue with using terms like EUA and restricted emergency use, terms that are alien to Indian regulations, is that it causes confusion amongst the doctors and patients about the basis for the approval and the limitations of the data used to grant approvals. So, except for the regulator and perhaps those making the vaccines, everybody else is in the dark about how these vaccines came to be approved.
The Indian authorities are yet to come clean on what will be the basis for clearing vaccines for use in this country during the pandemic.
Some trial participants have suffered severe side effects. This is worrying. What do we make of these incidents?
All drugs have some side effects. Some of these side effects are considered mild, like headaches or short-term fevers. But what needs urgent attention is a severe adverse event. The Drugs and Cosmetics Act defines this as an adverse event which is associated with death, hospitalization, persistent or significant disability, or anything life-threatening. These trial participants who suffer these severe adverse events should be given free treatment and care as required. A committee also examines if these severe adverse events are induced by the vaccines. This September, a trial participant in the UK suffered a severe adverse event, a neurological side effect. The trial was stopped for a month before the drug regulator confirmed that it was not vaccine induced. The event is also examined by the independent monitoring committee, which declared that it was safe to resume the trial. Dr. Jaisani said that AstraZeneca's decision to stop the trial briefly was a good move. In India this November, the news broke that one of the trial participants, a 40-year-old businessman from Chennai, suffered a severe adverse event. He had acute neuroencephalopathy, a sudden neurological dysfunction. He was not happy with the treatment he received and the way he was treated after he developed the complication. In India this November, the news broke that one of the trial participants for Serum Institute's AstraZeneca vaccine suffered a severe adverse event. This man is a 40-year-old businessman from Chennai. He had acute neuroencephalopathy, a sudden neurological dysfunction. He was not happy with the treatment he received and the way he was treated after he developed the complications. He sent a legal notice to Serum Institute of Rs. 5 crore. Serum India threatened to countersue the trial volunteer. A volunteer from Bharat Biotech Vaccine 2 suffered a similar side effect in phase 1, said reports. Jaisani said that the incidents were worrying. The problem, he said, is more about transparency and fairness.
Now just see the whole irony that similar kind of neurological event takes place in Chennai to another person, you know, Indian who is doing that. Nobody comes to know for almost 3 weeks. Till the person who suffered sends a notice for 5 crore rupees compensation, okay, to the company, and say that I have suffered and I'm still suffering, right? And why Serum and AstraZeneca together, as they did it with the British subject who had the similar serious adverse event, take an action, say that stop it and let us immediately investigate this one also. They did not stop it. And that raises a question that you can allow this kind of things to happen to an Indian but not to a Britisher. Is that kind of standard that we are using? There are two different standards for Indians and them.
To top this, the other trial volunteers were not informed about this adverse event.
Why wasn't I was informed about it? But this is another thing that, you know, the people who participated in the trial felt disrespected. You know, ultimately, when I go as on out of altruism to participate in clinical trial without charging a single penny, you know, and with all the concomitant, you know, problems associated with and risk associated with, I expect minimum thing from people who do research, that they will respect me. And they will see that if there is anything, they will keep take me into confidence. But not to even go to people who are really helping you to discover this vaccine. That, I think, was much, much worse.
Advocate Neelakantan said that the incident pointed to desperation and could have been handled better.
People don't issue legal notices when they are happy. So the problem is that this person feels somehow persecuted by the system. If that person had been taken care of very well and had been provided a good standard of medical care and felt that people were actually helping and dealing with the problem without worrying about whether it was caused by the vaccine or not, just take care of the patient. That is the doctor's first duty. If that patient had felt this, and don't forget, he's a healthy volunteer. So if he had felt that the doctor really cares about him, the hospital really cares about him, he's trying to do a voluntary act to help humanity, and you treated him in that manner, then he would have had gratitude for the doctor. He would not have been upset and sent a legal notice. So think of it from that standpoint, which is how the law says you must give him the best medical care available. If he had got that, and if he had felt assured that he had got that, this would not have happened. He wouldn't have sent a legal notice.
The priority should have been to find why such an incident took place rather than threatening a trial volunteer. Dr. Jesani said that all trial participants should be taken care of, whether they are injured by the vaccine or not. For instance, even if they get sick with dengue or they get COVID-19, the company should pay for treatment and make sure that they provide all the care possible for the participant to get better.
Is it not suspicious that pharma companies manufactured the vaccines before the phase 3 trial result came out?
The rationale for starting production beforehand was that the vaccine is ready when the country's drug regulators clears it for use. While there is no evidence for concern, Dr. Jesani concedes that it is fishy.
When you try to, you know, do the operation, you know, warp speed or try to do quickly, you start investing in production even when you are doing research. That means you are making an assumption that your research is going to succeed. And you start, putting billions of dollars in the production of that vaccine, which is still under the investigation in the human trial. People who are very comfortable with conspiracy theories, you know, they had a field day, you know. I as a person from ethics and science, I may have to take more balanced view, saying that, yes, there is a point you are making, and that point should be considered. But at the same time, unless you have evidence that your point is right, it remains theoretical point. Yeah, the conflict of interest is like a condition. It's something that is prevalent. But whether it makes you really corrupt or not, that depends upon circumstances, you know. So just having this situation does not mean that those who did research did it wrongly. So what it says is that we need to have a better control on this situation. Even if you do it, I mean, it's not that it is doing it is bad. In a pandemic like this, taking a risk of few billion dollars is not unusual. But then, when you are doing it, you must see that it does not affect the scientific standards and ethical standards of the research.
Have vaccine makers been completely transparent? Are they sharing all the data?
We need transparency at different levels of clinical trials. Every step of clinical trials should be communicated to the stakeholders. In the case of COVID-19, that really includes everyone. Dr. Jesani pointed out that some pharma companies such as Pfizer, AstraZeneca and Moderna, among others, have shared the protocols related to phase 3 trials in public. But these protocols are not available for trials conducted in India.
In India, unfortunately, it has not happened. You have Bayer Biotech and ICMR, or Indian Institute of Virology. They are doing one indigenously produced vaccine, and the clinical trial is in phase 3. But like AstraZeneca, they have not put, or Moderna, and then Pfizer and J&J, their protocol is not available to anybody, right? There is no transparency there. There are other, studies which are being done, which are being tried out in phase 3 outside India, but the British studies are being done in India. And these are their protocols are still not seen in India. Nobody has access to it. So in what we called a community engagement, the political engagement with larger nation are very, very important in order to generate trust. If you don't generate trust, then people become hesitant to take vaccine once you offer them the vaccine. They say, I don't know enough. Did they really do it rightly? Did they really respect the rights of the participants on whom they carried out the experiment? Because these are the participants who are drawn from my society, from my kind of people who have gone and done it.
After the phase 3 trials finished outside India, many companies such as Moderna, Pfizer and AstraZeneca communicated their phase 3 results using press releases. This sets a bad precedent, said Dr. Jesani.
The press release is a very bad way of communicating science, and not only bad way, but the way press releases are getting reported in media is equally bad. You can't report them verbatim as they are. You have to report them showing the context and some amount of skepticism, saying that, why the press release? Why not the data release? This is very important. Because the raw data of the clinical trial, which are anonymized, should be available to everybody to reanalyze and say that what claim company is making are correct or not correct. So instead of going for this kind of press release, they should be releasing the scientific data. The second is that which makes you more worried about is that it is not just press release, but press release immediately affect on your stock prices. And then a report comes that people from inside the company made huge amount of money, because by releasing this press release, their stock went up and they sold a part of the stock and suddenly made a huge amount of money. So this kind of reports were very bad for the pharma companies as well as science. And I think there should be some regulation by the drug regulator in allowing them to do this. Scientific communication should be really done in a scientific manner. And even to the general public, it should be based on scientific things.
Drug regulators too have to be transparent in communicating the processes involved in clearing the vaccines for emergency use authorization. In the US, the FDA live-streamed the entire 8-hour proceeding.
This is a live public meeting that is being broadcast in its entirety through C-SPAN, YourCast, Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitter. Today's event is also being recorded and will be posted on FDA.
In India, though, when Bharat Biotech, Serum Institute, and Pfizer applied for authorization for use in the country before the drug regulator, the minutes of the meetings were uploaded on the Central Drug Standard Control Organization website. Serum Institute was asked to give more data and Bharat Biotech was asked to complete phase 3 trials. But the explanations for these directions were just a few lines.
An application for, say, clinical trial comes to them. The subject expert committee gives opinion about it. And it is only one line, two line, three line, right? There is no justification why this opinion is given. Even a court judge is required to provide reasoning for the judgment he gives. But our scientific expert don't have to say it. They just make one line. This is my decision. I don't want to explain. how can you in ethics and science have a judgment without explanation? And they provide it. We never come to know who are these people. They are faceless scientists. Why faceless? Why shouldn't we know who they are? What are their conflict of interest? Why we never come to know about it? The government should be doing both scientific communication without censoring it, as well as the public communication in a proper manner. I think that is what is required if you want people to trust us. They will still go and take your vaccine, but some hesitancy will remain because we have not told them everything that they need to know. I think that is that you keep in mind. And then don't keep blaming so-called evil people of the society for hesitancy. There are people who want to know more and you are not allowing them to know more, and that's how they sometimes criticize what you are doing. But once information is made public, people are satisfied. You don't find so much of a problem. So yes, communication is very important, and I hope government does better communication in coming time.
Now we'll go on to the question that is on the minds of many.
What happens if I develop a complication during the mass vaccination drive?
The central and the state governments are gearing up for mass vaccination drive, starting with the health workers and essential workers. In a press conference on December 15, Rajesh Bhushan, the health secretary, spoke about the adverse events following immunization.
Adverse events following immunization. ये एक critical बिंदु है. जब हम universal immunization program करते हैं, जो हम अनेक दशकों से इस देश में करते आ रहे हैं, तो भी बच्चों में और गर्भवती माताओं में कुछ-कुछ प्रतिकूल प्रभाव दिखाई देते हैं टीकाकरण के बाद. तो इसलिए जब भी हम COVID 19 का वैक्सीनेशन प्रारंभ करेंगे तो उस समय भी एडवर्स इवेंट्स की संभावनाओं से इनकार नहीं किया जा सकता है. जिन देशों में इम्यूनाइजेशन प्रारंभ हुआ है, विशेषकर यूके, वहाँ पहले ही दिन एडवर्स इवेंट्स हुए हैं. तो इसलिए ये आवश्यक है कि राज्य सरकारें और संघ शासित क्षेत्र इसके लिए भी तैयारी करें.
An adverse event is an untoward medical occurrence, an unintended symptom that occurs after the administration of the vaccine. This may not have anything to do with the vaccine, as in, there may not be a causal link between the vaccine and the event. These events have to be examined by the National Committee to determine if there are any causal links between the vaccine and the event. These processes have not been transparent so far.
In the past, whenever reports of adverse events in vaccination have come at the population level, unfortunately, government has not shown good efficacy, efficiency in determining them properly and in a very transparent manner.
He referred to the deaths that occurred after the administration of pentavalent vaccine for children that is meant to prevent 5 diseases, including hepatitis B. A report said that 237 children died after they were administered the pentavalent vaccine between 2012 and 2016.
There was no transparency in the way those deaths were investigated. And we have no idea whether those parents of those kids received any compensation. And when you have some people who die due to vaccine, you may have larger number of people who are injured in different ways, by the same vaccine. Now, how are you identifying them and taking care of? In the past, unfortunately, we don't have much information. I don't know. Government should come out with data about, in last 5 years or last 10 years, how many people who got injured because of the vaccination in India, or children, mainly it's for children. How many were determined to be because of the vaccination, and how much compensation was paid to them? We have no data. We have no information. You find in USA, where there is a Shield law for all the companies, where the government pays, all companies have no liability. The good wish was that because of a pandemic and the emergency and the whole disaster that we are facing, at least government will strengthen the public health infrastructure. the block hospital or the community health centers will be upgraded. They will permanent staff, which is missing there, will be appointed. Additional staff will be considered because you require more for doing this vaccination. Same way for the primary health centers and the sub centers, upgrading all of them. And so that as a part of the pandemic response, we are not only creating something, which is a vertical, saying that, okay, let us reach vaccine, but without doing anything to the infrastructure. Here you also, enhance infrastructure so that even non-COVID cases are also taken care of, and at the same time, vaccine is also provided. Now, if that was something like that, you put money there and you improve, things would have been really, really better. Here, what we are doing is that there is a technology you want to reach people. We did it in polio, same thing, that everybody should get polio. Whether they get good water or not is not our concern. Whether they get treatment for cholera and malaria is not our concern. We're just reaching a vaccine to them. And the Pulse Polio program had created chaos in the way the lower level health centers were functioning, because people are all drawn there doing just one thing and the rest of the things were left out, So what you require is a more holistic approach and improving the public health system.
While immunization is an integral and critical arm of public health, the actual strengthening of public health infrastructure and investing in public health will be crucial in tackling this pandemic.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting our contributing page on our website, sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.